Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Tuesday night. It is almost 11 o'clock, and the Governor's Cup is still being played, and Austin Punk just hit a home run to tie it at 7 in the bottom of the ninth. So I was expecting, truthfully, when I hit live, for the game to end right there. Ole Miss had one out before the two-run home run, and so I went ahead and went live so we could talk about first one of the two things that Lane Kiffin is missing at Ole Miss coming to an end on Thursday, and then get to the baseball game. Turns out baseball is going to hang on for at least a little while longer, if not ending right now. But good. We got a lot to talk about, even though it's late. So for those of you that are here live, you're a sicko, and I appreciate you. I'm glad that you're here. On this edition of the Rebel Report, my name is a very tired Michael Borky. I appreciate you being here. The weather delay really kind of killed this. They had a tiny cell come through Pearl that delayed the game. I mean, it didn't even rain where I'm sitting right now, just, you know, 15 minutes away from the ballpark, and yet they had a weather delay in the game. But it would be over by now if not for that. But anyway, this is a game that I think Ole Miss needs, so we'll see if they can get it done. But in the meantime, let's talk a little football in this edition of the show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Again, wherever you get your podcasts, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. This edition of the show is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. You don't have to live in Brookhaven to shop at Toyota of Brookhaven. They are on exit 40 in Brookhaven, though. So if you're in the area and you're in the market for a new vehicle, that is the place to go. But the car buying experience is a pretty stressful one. It is, in my experience, unrewarding if you don't use a place like Toyota of Brookhaven. They will take care of you like you're a person and not just dollar signs. They will treat you and the situation delicately, sometimes the way it deserves, because that is just what they do at Toyota Brookhaven. They will deliver a great quality car buying experience for you. Tell them I sent you, get $1,000 off any in-stock new Toyota. $1,000 off right away, any in-stock new Toyota at Toyota of Brookhaven. They have a service department that's open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Any maker model, doesn't matter. One of the highest rated service departments in the state of Mississippi, right there on exit 40 in Brookhaven. Check out their online inventory at toyotaofbrookhaven.com so you can know kind of what they've got before you get in the car and drive down there. But I'm telling you, if you're going to make a car a purchase, that's the place that you should start, even if you don't live in the area. Again, tell them I sent you, toyotaofbrookhaven.com, exit 40 in Brookhaven, Toyota of Brookhaven, bringing you the Rebel Report. So the NFL draft is on Thursday, and Ole Miss fans obviously have been paying very close attention to all of the mock drafts and things of that nature, because it's not just Jackson Dart, right? Ole Miss could have one. I think you can guarantee that there's going to be at least one Ole Miss player drafted in the first round on Thursday night. Certainly feels like the odds are very much in Ole Miss's favor when it comes to that. Could it be one? Could it be three? We'll just have to see. But it's a very exciting thing. I love the NFL draft. As you guys know, I'm a Saints fan. I pay attention to it from that perspective. But I love the draft just in general. I enjoy the process of it. I enjoy looking at all the mocks. I love the concept of trades and everything about the draft. So Thursday this weekend is very exciting for me just as a sports fan, but especially in particular when it comes to this group of Ole Miss players and just how many of them are going to hear their names called over the weekend and are going to be, especially defensively, high-impact players at the next level, or the possibility of that happening. And so a draft class like this one does not grow on trees. This is a rare weekend upcoming for Ole Miss when it comes to the volume of players that are going to get selected, not only just possibly in the first round, but throughout the draft. This is going to be one of those historic drafts for Ole Miss. This is a big weekend for Ole Miss in general. But two things, in my opinion, are missing from Lane Kiffin's resume at Ole Miss. And it's really the last two things. He's done so many great things since he took over at Ole Miss. They're winning at a consistent level. He has elevated the floor of the program and the expectations of the program. I mean, Ole Miss just won 10 games last season, and fans are disappointed. That is a direct credit. Also, you know, there's the other side of that, but that is a direct credit to Lane Kiffin and staff elevating the floor of the football program. They've won 39 games in 4 years. This new era in college football has been great for Ole Miss because of Lane Kiffin's adaptability and, of course, the other support around the school and administration for that. But won a lot of games. They've had college game day. They've been interesting, compelling, fun, and all of those things, right? So a lot of good has happened at Ole Miss, but he's missing really two things. One of them is a playoff appearance that obviously did not happen last year. I don't care personally in the expanded playoff era about making the SEC championship. It just doesn't have the same cachet that it used to anymore. So I don't count that as like a milestone they need to get to. They need to get to the playoff and then win playoff games. If they don't get to Atlanta, but they get to the playoff and then win a playoff game, then who cares if they went to Atlanta and got beat or even won? That is not to me on the scale of things that needs to happen anymore in the expanded playoff era, especially since they're about to go to 16 anyway. So it's make the playoff and have playoff success. That's one thing that he's missing. The other, as an offensive guy, is quarterback, NFL quarterback. And this Thursday, it seems like that is going to happen. Although it's been a little bit confusing. Jackson Dart's been doing the snip, snap, Michael Scott going to the draft, not going to the draft. Now, I guess, turns out that he is there in Green Bay, but the odds are overwhelmingly in favor of him getting selected on Thursday. And he hadn't been at Ole Miss too terribly long, as the Governor's Cup will go into extras. He hasn't been at Ole Miss for too terribly long, but long enough to where something that's missing on his rather accomplished resume at the school is NFL quarterback. He has yet to put a quarterback truly in the NFL. And Matt Corral's lack of ability to stay in the league, his draft status and position, neither of which are the fault of Lane Kiffin. That is just something that it didn't work out because of Matt, not because of Lane, right? I don't think that you can blame the Ole Miss side of that for how that happened. It just didn't work out for Matt. And he was great at Ole Miss and is a legend at the school, but didn't become an NFL quarterback, right? Even though it remains to be seen what kind of pro Jackson will be, having a first-round pick at quarterback is a big mark on the resume of Lane Kiffin that he just doesn't have yet. And having Jackson Dart quarterback, I'm sure Goodell will read Mississippi instead of Ole Miss on the cue card, is a big deal for the program, and it's a big deal for Lane Kiffin. And you're going to get that milestone that he has not reached yet. And that having a first-round draft pick at quarterback is just gigantic for the program. As you guys know, you haven't had one for a rather significant amount of time. And so it's a rare thing for any program, but it's a rare thing for this one as well. And it's something that Kiffin has not been able to do yet. And so there are fewer and fewer things that have yet to be accomplished at Ole Miss under this current coaching staff and administration. And on Thursday night, that is going to change. So Lane Kiffin is missing two things at Ole Miss. One of them is about to get knocked off. It's a big deal. Breaking news, Mort 11 having a first-round pick is a big deal. But what something like that does for the cachet of your program is immeasurable, especially as you're transitioning into the Austin Simmons era. Having Lane Kiffin develop Jackson Dart into a first-round pick will draw credibility and attention on Austin Simmons and then whoever comes after Austin Simmons. And the way that Ole Miss was able to market Eli Manning for as long as he was in the NFL was massive. I'm not saying Jackson Dart's going to go into Super Bowls and be the MVP in both of them, but the opportunity is going to present itself for Ole Miss to not only, you know, have a good night on Thursday, but continue to elevate the floor of that program by having Jackson Dart be a first-round pick. And the next question is, well, where does he go? That's what I am so fascinated by, because you have two schools of thought going into this. By the way, at this point in the draft, every single team still has their original first-round pick for the first time in the modern era, and it's not going to stay that way. You have the schools of thought where people are going to trade back in at the end of the first round in hopes that somebody like a Jackson Dart is available somewhere in the 20s. Or you have this new school of thought that the Giants, for example, or Cleveland are considering trading back out of their top five pick to acquire some assets and also still get their guy, which very well could be Jackson Dart of New York or Cleveland. I know Cleveland has such a stigma. I don't hate that as a destination for Dart as much as some other people do, but is it going to be one of those two? Is it going to be the Saints at nine? As a Saints fan, I want to see the Saints trade back in this draft. They never do it, so it's kind of a waste of time for me to even discuss the possibility. But as a Saints fan, I want them to trade back and acquire assets and get younger and get cheaper. And if Kellen Moore really does like Jackson Dart a lot, you trade back into the teens and hope he's still there. And if he's not, you know, so what? You still have acquired assets, and then you can go to your next guy on the board. Or maybe Dart is still available there. But what do the Saints do? Do they go ahead and take a guy like Dart at nine, because they're definitely not taking Shador Sanders, if you believe the reporting? Or do they trade back? Or does Pittsburgh trade up? Or do they try to wait for him at 21? What happens if he's still there at 26 and the Rams decide to pick him for their future? There are so many options in this draft for a guy like Jackson Dart. And I'm excited to see how it plays out. I still think the ideal destination for him long-term is the Rams. Being on that roster with that coach is ideal. The Steelers, I think, would be, you know, destination two if you got to choose. It sounds like they're still in pursuit of Aaron Rodgers, but you like the structure, and you like the roster, and you like Tomlin, and Dart, you know, dresses like California but plays like Pittsburgh, which is like the best analogy that I could come up with. I guess number three would be Cleveland. As a Saints fan, it pains me to say I would rather play for the Browns right now than the Saints. I know that's insane, but I think I would right now. And then you get into New Orleans, New York, whoever. Maybe there's a wild card mixed in there that we're not considering at the moment. I mean, Atlanta was one last year that we didn't know about at the time. But I'm excited to see how this plays out. I would enjoy him playing for New Orleans. I just don't think drafting quarterback at nine is the smartest thing for the team to do, considering all of its issues right now. But you know, I'll be excited about the potential, but worried about him having to get thrust on right away into a role on a team that's not ready for it. Anyway, I'm getting down in the weeds. Point is, Lane Kiffin's missing two things at Ole Miss. One of them is going to get knocked off on Thursday. And the possibilities there are incredible. But not only will it work in the short term, if he gets put in the right situation and can start winning games, it will pay dividends for years to come for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Also, I saw a report today that had the possibility of Walter Nolan in Dallas. By the way, that would be significant. I saw at least one analyst say that although he's not ready to put Walter Nolan there in his mock draft, Dallas at 12 for him is apparently something that is gaining a lot of steam in NFL circles, that Walter could go to Dallas. And then Trey Amos. Trey Amos is somebody that some people think could sneak back into the end of the first round. So we'll see where they go. We'll be live on Thursday. The plan is, just for the record, whenever the first selection happens. Whenever the first selection happens for an Ole Miss player, we will go live. If it's at 9, we're going live. If it's at 26, we're going live, but not any second sooner. Oh, we will just go live whenever that happens. So looking forward to that on Thursday with you guys. But in the meantime, I'll read some of your comments as they go to, oh, they're still in the top of the 10th, two outs, nobody on for Mississippi State. So I'll read some of your comments, and then hopefully this game will be over by then. But before we get to your comments, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered if you're a Mississippi business. A Mississippi business, and I mean anywhere in Mississippi, and you're in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, IT projects, phone systems, whatever it is, technology related in the office, and your Mississippi business needs it, tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. absms.com is that website. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Again, 16 locations here. There's likely one in your backyard. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you as well. You heard them. You heard about them right here on the Rebel Report. First comment, hope the Giants get him so I can cheer for them again. Him and neighbors would be epic. Going to the bottom of the 10th, by the way. Yeah, that's what I'm curious about is, I mean, do the Giants love somebody like him enough at 3 to kind of take a flyer on him at 3? Or do the Giants look at somebody like Vegas who wants Jeunty? And do they trade back to 6, let Vegas get their guy, jump Jacksonville, who apparently also is enamored with him, jump Jacksonville, trade back to 6, and Dart should still be there at 6. That would make more sense for the Giants. You get, you know, a second-round pick in return to have somebody like Vegas jump up to 3. You get a second, a third, or whatever, you know, to make that move, maybe even next year's first. I don't know. But you acquire some assets and still be able to get your quarterback. I think that would be smart drafting. And so you've got candidates like that, like Cleveland and New York, trading back or trading back into the first round to go get a quarterback. Vegas probably wants to move up to get somebody. That pick at 8 for Carolina is really attractive for somebody like a Pittsburgh that needs to go get a quarterback. You jump New Orleans in that scenario. So if you're Carolina, are you shopping the 8th pick specifically to somebody like Pittsburgh in order to, again, acquire more assets and let Pittsburgh go get their guy when clearly Carolina doesn't need a quarterback? So I'm telling you, man, the scenarios are all over the place, and I love that about this year's draft. Say, yep, Ole Miss needs a good quarterback for the marketing. Big time state has had Dak, and we have not really had any quarterbacks in the NFL in a long time on an active roster. Exactly. I mean, Eli Manning's long retired now. I mean, Ole Miss got a lot out of that, and for good reason, right? But I mean, he's retired now. And while the cachet of Eli Manning still has a positive impact on Ole Miss every year, he's not on the football field, you know, his impact gets less and less. So goated Ole Miss sports takes for real. Thank you, Zach. You're full of it, but thank you. Giants could still trade down and get 2 players in the first round. Absolutely they could. Or trade back, take best available, and still trade back into the first round with the assets you acquired. Darvish Steelers would be the best situation for him to go in and win, not a losing season in 17 years. There is a bit of staleness, though, in Pittsburgh is my only concern. But, man, they've got a pair of receivers that he would absolutely love. I mean, think about it. How cool would that be to have Jackson throwing deep balls to DK Metcalf? I mean, that would be an Ole Miss fan's dream. And, you know, Pittsburgh is one of those brands, too, in the NFL that carries a lot of weight. I mean, not even just the winning seasons, but they have a massive fan base. I mean, you know, they don't – I saw a debate where it was talking about fan bases that travel well. And, like, in college, that is the only – in college football, that is the only true fan base travels well because those are fans that are actually traveling to road games. Whereas, like, when the Steelers play New Orleans and you see terrible towels everywhere, those people, most of them were already around. Right. Same thing with Cowboys fans. Cowboys fans don't travel well. They just exist in all of these places. But the Steelers fan base is kind of like that. They're everywhere. And having those two guys on one of the prominent NFL franchises, speaking of marketing, is just a, you know, rather significant deal. Think he'll be off the board by 10? It's possible. It just all depends on, you know, all it takes is one team to be truly in love with a prospect to take him earlier than people think he will. I would be surprised if he's still available at 26 for the Rams to just not move and take him. I would be surprised if at 26 he's available, but we'll see. Big Steelers fan and already got my DK jersey. Dart jersey is going to be framed if he gets drafted. That's awesome. And you know, DK, man, He fits the Steelers brand, right? I mean, just big, physical, wants to rip defensive backs' heads off, you know? I mean, sometimes he can take it a little too far and get himself in some trouble, but Ole Miss has one man on now in the 10th. But for you as a Steelers fan, it's got to be pretty exciting. It's an exciting time for you, having even just him, but the prospect of getting both of them would be great. As long as he's not a New York Jet, I can cheer for Dart any place. I do not think he'll be a Jet. So the Jets are – I don't quite understand what the Jets are doing, to be honest with you. The signing of Justin Fields, I don't understand it. Because you don't sign Justin Fields to be so bad next year that you're drafting another quarterback, right? You give him the contract that you gave him while cheap. Relatively speaking, you don't do that unless you're trying to win. And Justin Fields can help you not suck, but you know what I mean? It just that doesn't make sense. Three first-round picks for Ole Miss, two in the second round, six to seven more getting drafted after that. We lost to Kentucky. Yeah, we had somebody on the radio show, I think it was today, text in and say that the Florida loss is going to haunt Ole Miss for a long time. I said, not the Florida loss. That one shouldn't haunt you at all. It's the Kentucky loss that should be haunting, not Florida. Still not over the 2024 season. I hear you. Full circle if he goes to the Steelers. Feels like Walter Nolan lining up next to Micah would be a perfect spot for him. Pooh Paul next to Fred Warner, too. Yeah, you know what I'm afraid of is Walter being available at 32 and him going to the freaking Eagles and playing on that defensive line. I mean, give me a break. I mean, I saw somebody also say that the Chiefs would take him at 31. I mean, could you imagine that, him next to Chris Jones? What franchise are you wanting to see JJ and Jared Ivey go to? Big culture guys. I want Jared Ivey as a Saint. I want him to be a Saint badly. Badly. I mean, if he's there in the fourth round, my gosh. I drew the comparison with Jared Ivey to Cam Jordan on the radio show, and I'll do it here. Now, Cam Jordan was a first-round pick. He was a higher-level prospect. than that of Jared Ivey. But Jared Ivey doesn't, I don't think anyway, I don't think he has any elite traits, but like he's good at everything, you know? He's got really good size and good speed and all that, and he is so freaking smart and such a good, you say, culture guy. I agree. And Cam Jordan is not going to be a Saint for much longer. I mean, this is his last year. And so what a perfect guy, where I think they're very similar too, right? Cam Jordan's very smart and outgoing and personable and media savvy, and so is Jared Ivey, right? Jared Ivey's very smart, very outgoing, very personable, media savvy, all of these things. I mean, Jared Ivey fits exactly what Cam Jordan's role is in New Orleans. He can be that guy too. I don't know if he's a one, again, I don't know if he's a one-for-one replacement because Jordan was an elite prospect and Ivy's not an elite prospect. But if you look up 12 years from now and Jared Ivey's still starting and getting 6.5, 7 sacks a year in the NFL, I would buy it completely. So I want him to be a Saint badly, really, really badly. I would take the geese as well. I do think the Saints have a more important need on the exterior than the interior with Cam Jordan about to leave. But I would take them both. But I especially want Jared Ivey to be a Saint really badly. So why is Dart not attending? So I guess he is attending now. That situation's weird. He was announced as one of the draft attendees, and then his name came off the list. I don't follow players on Instagram or Twitter, but the screenshot of Dart with his location as Green Bay, Wisconsin is going around, so I guess he is there now. I assume it would be uncertainty centered around, you know, not being 100% guaranteed that it was going to happen, but you don't show up to Green Bay after you pull your name out unless you've been given some assurances, at least I would think. I mean, all of the odds, everything says that he is going in the first round. So, you know, changed his mind a couple of times, but I don't think that they would put him in a situation in which they think it's possible that he's one of those that at pick 32 is still sitting in the green room and everybody around him is miserable from sitting by themselves all night and doing nothing except for having cameras shoved in their face in a moment in which they're following in the draft. I mean, I don't think that he would have gone if that was the expectation or the anticipation that it was possible. So we'll see. Kentucky fans are not happy they won last year for Ole Miss too. Yeah, maybe they would have John Summerall as their coach right now if that was a thing. Maybe. Stoops is a pretty significant buyout, though. J.J. Pegues to the Broncos. Sean Payton feels like the best coach to use him on some offensive schemes. You know this. I mean, Sean Payton absolutely falls in love with utility guys. As Ole Miss walks it off in the bottom of the 10th to beat Mississippi State in the Governor's Cup, Will Furness with a single. He had a 2-run home run tonight as well. So, big night for him. And Ole Miss is able to get the win. So now we can actually talk about that game a little bit before we go. 8 runs scored for this Ole Miss offense. That's a good thing. That's what you wanted to see. I mean, a bunch of guys got hits tonight. And again, we'll talk about it in just a second. Any rumors on where Trey Harris is projected? Feels like the ultimate fantasy football steal. I see a lot of second round on him. I do see a lot of second round on him. People are willing to take a risk on the injury bug because of how, I mean, just uber talented that he is. So there you go. All right, let's talk about this baseball game a little bit, and then we'll get out of here. So it just finished. Ole Miss wins 8-7 over Mississippi State. We talked about it on the radio show today. I think Ole Miss had to have this one. I mean, they were in the middle of a slide. They played well, other than really the top of the ninth. but lost the Tennessee series, and then they lose to Little Rock, as you guys know, and then lose to South Carolina in a series. Now, they did salvage game three, but to go on that streak and then turn around and lose to Mississippi State, who's really struggling right now, in a midweek game would have kind of confirmed that a skid was here, right? And they have fallen out of the hosting conversation, at least as of today. D1 did not have them as a host today. Their RPI was 21. They needed this one for a couple of reasons, right? They needed this one to start building that resume back up to get themselves on the right side of hosting, because they are certainly good enough to be on the right side of hosting. They just have to continue to win games, and they will get there. But also, you guys know me, I don't think that you should put an overemphasis on the rivalry. I think that Ole Miss, and from Mississippi State's perspective, although I think their fans agree with me less in this sentiment, you shouldn't measure yourself against what Mississippi State does. You should measure yourself against what you do. I mean, Ole Miss lost to State twice in basketball this year, and do any of you care? No, it doesn't matter, because, you know, you went steps beyond that. However, in baseball, Mississippi State's kind of owned Ole Miss in recent history anyway. Even struggling state teams have found a way to beat Ole Miss, and not tonight, right? You're able to walk them off, too, after a couple of wild pitches that put Randall in scoring position anyway. But it was you that was able to overcome that, and it was you that beat Mississippi State tonight, and that's something that Ole Miss has not been particularly great at in recent history. So feels like, you know, you've bounced back offensively. You just completely lit South Carolina up in game three, and then Mississippi State threw a midweek pitcher that had really good numbers. That's been kind of a shutdown guy for them against lesser opponents, of course, in the midweek. But every regular starter for Ole Miss got a hit tonight. Sanford, I mean, he was 1 for 5, and Hill was 1 for 6, but they both got a hit. Furness had a couple of hits, 3 RBIs. Udermark had a hit. Humphrey had 2. Fawley had a 2-run home run that tied the game. Moorman had 3 hits. That was big for him. Smithwick went 0 for 5, but he's not an everyday player at this point. Federico comes in a pinch situation. He gets a hit as well. So Ole Miss had 14 hits on the night and scored 8 runs to win what is essentially counted as an SEC game as well. So they get that extra SEC game and they get that win. This team should be building their confidence back. They have seemingly bounced back from a 4-game stretch of ugly baseball. I mean, they blow it in game three against Tennessee, and offensively they were a disaster against Little Rock in the first 2 games against South Carolina. They have bounced back. This is a team that has done it through in different ways throughout the season, as we've talked about, losing game one, bouncing back, winning game two, winning a series. They had a bad weekend, but they salvaged, and now they've won in the midweek, and they come in with some momentum against Vanderbilt. This was an important win for Ole Miss. They needed this one, and good on them for getting it. And, I mean, absent the sixth inning being kind of a disaster for Ole Miss, I mean, I think you got some nice things out of a handful of guys. I mean, Calhoun was really good, struck out 7 in his 3 innings. You had Jones look really good in his inning in a third, struck out 3. There was a lot of good tonight for Ole Miss, and they needed that win. They absolutely needed that win, and they got it. Josh says, Canes win, Cubs win, Rebs win. Happy Tuesday. Yeah. With how low baseball expectations were going into this year, I'm just happy to be a relevant and competitive ball team. And they have a chance to be a host. It started with tonight. Now they need to go get 2 this weekend. If they go get 2 this weekend, they're back on track as a host. They will be back on the right side of the hosting bubble if they get 2 this weekend, I think. Adam says, first time in nearly 20 years. Where did these years go? I won't even be thinking about the draft, let alone tuning in. Really? Of all years, this is the year that you're choosing not to pay attention to the draft? Interesting. Or was that midweek pitching during the Little Rock game? It wasn't the pitching, really, that – I mean, they only scored three runs in the in that Little Rock game. So, I don't know. I mean, they gave up seven, right? So, that's an issue. But if you're only scoring three runs against Little Rock, it's the offense, too. But much better pitching tonight, and they were much more productive tonight. So, good on them. I'm going to go to bed. You all need to go to bed as well. I'll see you on Thursday. During the draft, we'll go live. Whenever the pick happens, we will go live to talk about it. So I'll see y'all then. Y'all be good, and we'll talk draft when it happens on Thursday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.